I have to start off by saying that I did not plan the theme for this morning's talk during breakfast. That just was by pure divine providence, because, of course, the theme for our fourth and final conference here is to meditate on the beauty that we are called to rescue as men of God. And indeed, I thought that was kind of interesting that Father Barone was focusing on beauty. And indeed, really a very nice meditation that he had on what beauty is. Unfortunately, in our modern culture, so often, because of the subjectivization of everything, we lose sight of the fact that there is beauty, that God is beauty. But I wanted to begin with a reading from the Song of Songs, which really, when you stop and think about it, the Song of Songs is, to not put a very fine point on it, a rather scandalous book. It's very graphic, and it's not something that we normally would associate with, shall we say, church. But it is meant to be that way for a very specific purpose. God is indeed scandalous sometimes. And so I want to read to you chapter 4, where he speaks of beauty. And just listen to these, and again, how, in a sense, graphic it really is. How beautiful you are, my friend, how beautiful you are. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats streaming down Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes to be shorn that come up from the washing, all of them big with twins, none of them barren. Like a scarlet strand, your lips and your mouth lovely. Like pomegranate halves, your cheeks behind your veil. Like a tower of David, your neck built in courses. 1,000 shields hanging upon it, all the armor of warriors. Your breasts are like 2 fawns, twins of a gazelle feeding among the lilies. Until the day grows cool and the shadows flee, I shall go to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of fragrance. You are beautiful in every way, my friend. There is no flaw in you. With me from Lebanon, my bride, with me from Lebanon, come. Descend from the peak of Amana, from the peak of Sinar and Hermon, from the lair of lions, from the leopard's heights. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. You have ravished my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one bead of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfumes than any spice. Your lips drip honey, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. If that isn't graphic, I don't know what is. And yet, the Song of Songs is an attempt on the part of the Word of God to evoke within us the wonder of beauty. Beauty captivates us. Beauty enthralls us. Beauty grabs a hold of our very soul and fills our hearts. So often we get caught up in truth, which is very important, don't get me wrong. We get caught up in the good, very important, don't get me wrong. But we forget that God is also beauty. There's a reason why I enjoy going hiking. Seeing that sun come up over the mountain is a thing of beauty. And we see beauty all around us if we open our eyes. But beauty has a way of evoking a response in our very soul. It calls forth our strength. It calls forth that which is our identity. It evokes that within us. God is ultimately a romantic at heart. Have you ever thought of that? God is a romantic at heart. He comes searching for us. Just like in this psalm, or the Song of Songs, he comes searching for us. He fights for us. He died on the cross. He's jealous for us. He's a jealous lover. He doesn't want our hearts to be prostituted out to other things. So he is jealous, and he wants our freedom. He's jealous for our freedom, and it takes a strong and a courageous love. You know, ultimately, that's what Lent is for. We're in the season of Lent. Lent is a time to evoke the beauty that is in our lives, to elicit, call forth our strength that we've been meditating on these last, yesterday and the day before. Beauty lifts that up. Lent, we think of it as, sometimes can be a time of sacrifice and suffering and penance. I love the season of Lent. Not because it's sacrifice and suffering and penance. I love it because it is a time of such power and grace that I'm able to be connected in a profound way to beauty. Why do we give up even good things? Why do we sacrifice so that we can make a space in our very soul to encounter the source of all beauty? Why do I give up something good? In my case, I gotta admit, I'm not much of a morning person. If I could, you know, hit the snooze button 6 times, I would. So this Lent, my resolution was to get out of my bed within 5 minutes. That is a sacrifice. But why? What's the point of that? If it's just a matter of, well, get out of bed, what's the point? No, what it is that by getting up, getting out of bed, I'm able to come and encounter God. Because after, of course, my morning shower, I make my holy hour. So it's a time to come and encounter beauty, to allow beauty to elicit. In the beauty that is in the world, the beauty of those things around us, the beauty of those that are in our lives, are icons of the beauty of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit. You know, God the Father, we forget that God has both masculine elements, but there's the feminine elements that are reflected in God as well, because male and female, we reflect the one God. And that's something that really struck me as I was preparing for our meditation and our thoughts this week, is that we forget of that other aspect. It takes a strong and a courageous love to fight for beauty, to battle for beauty. None of us are inspired by, shall we say, a rally cry that is, don't do this. Have you been inspired by a rallying cry that says, don't do this, whatever this is? That doesn't inspire any of us. Don't do that. Don't do this. That doesn't lift our hearts. That doesn't get us moving, if you will, in our very soul. St. John Paul II understood this when he was elected as the Pope. He spent his entire pontificate revealing the beauty of what we are. And he fought for it. You know, when you think of the commandments, they are, most of them are, most of them are written as negative prohibitions. Don't do this, don't do that. But what's amazing about the commandments is if you actually look at them and go deep into them, the reason why they say don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't lie, is because it wants to lead us to something more profound. There's a beauty that is being protected by the commandments. It's not the don't that we're supposed to get caught in. We're supposed to be caught up in what it's protecting. So don't kill. The beauty that is being protected is the wonder of life. Bishop Bruskowitz had a very famous example that he liked to use. You go up to a child, a 2-year-old who's got a knife in his or her hand, And you grab it and you say, don't use that. Why? Because you want to protect their life. There is something wondrous and beautiful there that needs to be protected. And so it requires a strong and a courageous love to fight to protect a beauty. You know, the feminine genius, if you will, the feminine way of manifesting God is that God wants to be loved. God wants to be a priority. He wants to be first in our lives. That's the feminine genius. The feminine way is, am I lovely? Is there anybody who will love me? Those of you who are fathers of daughters, the most important thing you can do for your daughter, and I mean this absolutely, sincerely, and truthfully, because I hear it as a priest all the time. Father, am I lovely? Tell your daughters they're lovely. Show them that they're beautiful. Let them know that they are loved. Because the female just wants to be loved, wants to be beautiful. There's a reason why all of our, I guess, storytelling revolves around this theme, the beauty to be rescued. Why? The beauty wants to be loved, wants to be a priority. And you and I, in our strong and courageous love, we fight for that beauty. And as a father, that is so important. I can't tell you the number of times that as a priest, the father of my family, the parish, how many times I have said to somebody, you're beautiful. And all of a sudden, their lives change. It sounds strange, but it's simple. To know that I'm willing to fight for them, that I'm willing to stand up and fight for my people, that I'm willing to lay down my life because there is beauty. What is that beauty that you're willing to lay down your life for? What is the beauty that you're willing to expend your strength, to breathe life into that beauty? Have you ever thought of that as a father of your daughters? Do you breathe life into your daughters? Do you breathe life into them? Do you love them? Do you evoke their beauty? They need to hear it. They need to see it. They need to experience it. That they are loved. That they are beautiful. That is the strength that we've been given. And I can tell you on the negative side, I've seen that so many times be crushed. And that's why we need that deep and profound connection to the Lord so that we can know what is the right thing to say and to do at the time. It's unique to every single one of us. You know, Monsignor Hintz was a great pastor. He was the pastor before me. He was at St. Patrick's for 17 years, did an amazing job. He set the foundation for what I'm trying to do now. If he wouldn't have done what he had done, there's no way in God's green earth I could be building a church the way I am. I am, in absolute sincerity, completely indebted to him. But I'm not him. I can't be him. You're not the person next to you. You have to be the man that God has called you to be. And that's why I asked you at the very beginning, what is the passion? What evokes that fire in your heart and your soul? And I would say to you, what is, and this is this part of this meditation, what is that beauty that elicits that strength in you? Because beauty can call us forth. It's not the source, but it can call forth our strength. As men, it cannot be something we go to seek out strength, but it can call forth our strength. What is the beauty that calls forth your strength? And what is the beauty that God is calling you to fight for? We think it's something we just can easily possess. We take hold of beauty. We have to fight for it. We have to be willing to pour ourselves out for it. We have to be willing to lay and breathe life into it, if you will. Beauty is a wondrous thing. You know, look at one more time, kind of reflect back here. Now, I don't think it'd be a good idea for you to tell your daughters or your wife that their hair is like a flock of goats. Probably wouldn't go over too well. Just, you know, I may not be married to, you know, a single woman, but I know that much. But such, you know, what evokes this passage from the Song of Songs is just the graphicness of it. You know, beauty is something that we lay our lives down for on a concrete level. It's not just an idea in our head. In the book of Genesis, when it says that Adam and Eve knew each other, it wasn't talking about the fact that they're like, hey, I know who you are. I've seen you before. I don't see any other human beings. Oh, yeah, you're Adam. Oh, you're Eve. Oh, nice to know you. To know something in the scriptural sense was to enter into it. And that's why this book of the Psalm of Psalms is so important. Song of Songs is so important. God is calling us to enter into the beauty. That's why these words are so graphic. I mean, again, I probably wouldn't tell your wife that your neck is like 1,000 shields hanging upon it, but what incredibly strong language. You are beautiful in every way, my friend. There is no flaw in you. Isn't that amazing? You are beautiful in every way. There is no flaw in you. And here's the real challenge. As I've spoken before, when God looks at us, he sees who he created. He doesn't see our sins. What do we see when we look at our beauty? The beauty that is in our lives, whatever that is. And it's not just, I mean, it's first and foremost a person or people in our lives, but it's more than just that. What do we see when we look at our beauty? Do we see flaws? Or do we see what God has created? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. But it's right here in the Song of Songs. You are beautiful in every way, my friend. There is no flaw in you. God looks at us and he says that. Do we see the same? Does our strength evoke that wonder and awe in the other? Not an easy thing. And it's not possible without our own profound union with the source of our strength. Because it does require strength to look at our beauty, who, if it's a person, is flawed, because we're all flawed. We all have the wound. That's why my second conference is all about the wound that is in us. But do we see the beauty? It's so easy in our day-to-day lives to get ground down. And that's why these kinds of things, like a retreat like this, is so important. It's so easy to get ground down, to be buried under. And we lose sight of the beauty. May your hearts be renewed this weekend. May you reconnect to your strength so that you may elicit and raise up and be able to say from the depths of your heart, you are beautiful in every way. There is no flaw in you. Now, that doesn't mean we stick our head in the sand and we avoid problems. That's not what I'm saying. But do we see the beauty? That's the heart of it all. How beautiful is your love, my bride? How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfumes than any spice? Your lips drip honey, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The beauty that is in our lives that God has placed there, are we willing to fight for it? Are we willing to pour ourselves out? And do we see that beauty and evoke that beauty?